But first, let's check in with the editorial board of the Arizona Republic. It's a weekly segment where we talk about current issues facing the state and the nation, featured in columns on the newspaper's op-ed pages. In a surprise ruling earlier this month, the Arizona Supreme Court unanimously decided to allow the Invest in Ed measure to make the November ballot. If passed, it would raise taxes on Arizonans who earn at least $250,000 a year. Over the weekend, public policy consultant Lisa Urias wrote a column on why Invest in Ed is needed to give a boost to the state's public schools. Our co-host Steve Goldstein talked about the column with Phil Boas of The Republic, and they began by discussing Urias' background and passion for the issue.
She is really one of the great leaders in our community. She wears a number of hats. One of them happens to be an advocate for public schools, and she does a lot for public education and advancing that cause. And she is making an argument on behalf of Invest in Ed and saying that education is part of the infrastructure of a modern economy, a modern society, and thus we need to fund it. And so she makes the argument that since 2009, the legislature has defunded public education by the tune of about $4.6 billion. And she says we're still not properly funding it, that we need to, we're about $4.5 billion short when you look at national per student averages. She goes on to say that it's debatable whether this is the best way to fund education, but that that is moot now, that the shortfall is so critical that we need to restore it.
It's a controversial measure because of it would only tax part of the population as opposed to a sales tax.
You know, I believe in the marketplace of ideas, and so we have lots of different opinions on our editorial and opinion pages. I happen to disagree with this one, although I love that we have it on our pages. Here's where I respectfully disagree. Invest in Ed wants to go and tax the rich, basically, and let them shoulder the burden for fully funding education in Arizona. And I think that's a very big mistake to do.
The sentiment I got from reading what she said is that the legislature, for a long time, sort of kicked the can down the road. And in essence, even though they don't like ballot measures, we end up with ballot measures to somehow take action, solve the problem, give people a chance to vote on it. Do you agree with that aspect of it, at least, that the legislature perhaps could have come up with other plans? Governor Ducey came up with Prop 123, whether people really love it or not, it was some sort of action.
That would be my first argument against this, and that is it ignores all of the progress that has been made in recent years. Prop 123 is significant, and she argues that it's not new money. Well, it is money that the schools wouldn't have otherwise, because it was done at a time when we were in a jobless recovery. There was no money for public education, and this basically infused $3.5 billion over 10 years for K through 12. It was a huge advancement for public education, and it's why the rank and file, the vanguard of public education leadership in this state that don't tend to be fans of Ducey all supported it. So they were behind it. The other thing is the governor's 20 by 20 proposal added $645 million for public school teachers to increase their salaries. And then this year, the state is accelerating what's called additional assistance to the tune of $67 million. So there's been a lot being done on this front for public education.
There are many who are going to argue the state was so far behind to begin with, and yes, we've made up some ground, but we've made up some ground that still leaves us way behind. And that's even the argument saying that money's not going to solve everything, but you need some money to make it better.
Let's talk about why the state was way behind. The state was way behind because we had a generational recession, not only in this state, but in this country and globally. It was huge. It took a big bite out of our budget. Public education is 43% of the Arizona budget. So that was the one place you were going to have to cut hugely in order to balance your books, to live within your means. We had to live within our means as we became less wealthy as a society. So things changed on us, and now we're rebuilding back as the economy is coming back. But it is wrong to go to the people that are wealthiest in our community. And these are important people because they tend to be the people that create businesses and create jobs, that are the real engine of sustainable growth. And if you go and you start taxing them, you do it once, you'll do it again. Other causes will come and say, hey, we can tax them. It'll be painless to the general taxpayer. And basically what you're doing is you're putting up a sign on your border saying, successful, wealthy people, stay out of Arizona. Don't come here. Don't create jobs here. Don't create businesses here.
But wouldn't someone else argue then, without a good education system, those people aren't going to want to come here anyway? And so how do we build up the education system without additional money coming from somewhere?
Again, it is, we have not been doing nothing. There have been huge advancements at the legislature, at the governor's office, in restoring funding for public education. So it is not true that there hasn't been work on this front. There's been a lot of work on this front. But when you're overseeing a budget and a state budget, you have to consider all the competing interests in the state. And if you go and you tax too much the people that create wealth and jobs in this community, you're going to create friction on the economy and you're going to damage the economy. And that's going to undercut schools in the end.
Phil Boas, Arizona Republic. Phil, thanks as always.
Hey, thank you.